Well, a couple months ago, our house, neighborhood, even the city, certain parts of it, were hit with a really torrential hailstorm. It knocked off paint on our house, damaged the roof enough that we have to replace it. It tore apart plants. Some parts of the city, it was breaking windows. It was killing birds. Really one of the worst hailstorms we've had for a couple years. And I parked my Jeep outside. Luckily, it only made my Jeep look a little more rugged. And Joe will agree with me there. You know, there's an embankment. And actually, I did think about running out in that hailstorm to save my, to put something over my Jeep. But ping pong size, marble size hail, I decided to just let it look a little more rugged. So. But anyhow, there's an embankment about 15 feet behind our house. They've put in a new bike path that's raised up. And they have a small strip there that water can flow towards a collection point. Basically, the whole neighborhood drains down through this little section. Now, during the height of this storm, I could see about a 3 foot wide, a 1 foot deep stream carrying all of this hail and this water and this ice away in the evening. But because of the extreme amount that was falling, that waterway became backed up. And I watched as I sat out there at my walkout basement. I watched as that waterway was flowing really well, and it just stopped. And it started backing up, and I noticed the water level starting to come up towards the back of my basement pad. At the highest point, before it did finally break, it was about 5 feet from the pad where it would have started coming into our basement foundation. And at that point, all I was prepared to do is watch. You know, I had a towel in my hand, but that wouldn't have done much. There was not really much at 12 o'clock at night that I could have done to fight off that water from entering the house. Anybody that's been in a natural disaster, and that is just minor, but anybody that's been in a real natural disaster and, importantly, has survived it, can speak to the importance of preparation. You know, most are not prepared for the randomness and the power of natural disasters. Most people get caught up when natural disasters occur. They're not prepared, and many, many lose their lives because of it. You know, with all of that power that I saw even that night of that hail pounding down upon our house, that power that of nature pales in comparison to the power of God. Matthew 24, starting in verse 36, speaking about the kind of power that we're going to soon, this world is soon going to see. And in verse 36, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." That scripture is incorrect, as most people will tell you today. Everybody knows the date. So as simple as that one scripture is in the Bible, that seems to be misunderstood by so many. "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark. It did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this," and this is important, "that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You know, Christ's return is going to come upon this earth with such speed, with such unexpectedness, that almost nobody except for a small select group is going to be prepared for it. The world is going to be unprepared for this natural disaster. Now, it harkens back to that time when you saw that there was one of the tsunamis that overtook this one lone man on the beach. And you could see, he didn't run, he just turned and looked at it and saw this huge mountain of water coming towards him. And there was literally nothing that he could do to get out of his way. That is the world, unrepentant before God, how they're going to be when Christ returns. You know, when we hear tornado sirens, that is not the time to start or to even finish digging that shelter we've been talking about for so many years of building. You know, you have to live at that point, when you hear those sirens, you have to live with the protection and the preparation that you have already completed in order to confront whatever looming disaster, whatever disaster that you might be faced with. Now, I'm talking about natural disasters there, of digging holes in the ground. What are we doing to prepare for Christ's return? And are we doing it any differently? Are we putting to the future what should be completed currently, what should be worked on already? You know, looking at some of the lists of the deadliest natural disasters, the death tolls, which can reach into the hundreds of thousands for particular disasters, like earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, tornadoes, most of these people, of those big numbers, die unprepared and not expecting what came their way. And time and time again, even when there are some warnings for these disasters, people are caught unprepared. They do exactly the wrong thing when danger confronts them. So how is mankind going to confront this judgment and this wrath that God is going to unleash in this present age? Well, my guess is not with much preparedness. Revelation 16, starting in verse 17. Revelation 16 and verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was such a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And the great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. An earthquake like none other. A judgment like none other. Quoting from this list I looked at of all of these like top 20 natural disasters, I'm going to read about one of these disasters. When the 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Tangshan in 1976, over a million people lay sleeping, unaware of the disaster was about to befall them. As the earth began to shake, a few people who were awake had the forethought to dive under a table or some other heavy piece of furniture, but most were asleep and did not have time. The entire earthquake lasted approximately 14 to 16 seconds. Not enough time to plan for your future, only enough time to act based upon what you had prepared to do. You know, once that quake was over, people who could scrambled out into the open, only to see the entire city leveled. After the initial period of shock, the survivors began to dig through debris to answer the muffled calls for help, as well to find loved ones still under rubble. The medical centers were destroyed as well as the roads to get to there. Survivors were faced with no water, no food, and no electricity. It's considered one of the deadliest earthquakes of the 20th century. About 250,000 people were perished or died in that. When it was all over, everything a man had built around him for protection that he relied on was destroyed. And continuing another verse in Revelation 16 and verse 21, "And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great." You know, hail the size of a talent, and I looked it up. It's between 70 to 80, 88, 90 pounds or so. So I would guesstimate a hailstone of that weight of a talent would be much bigger. It's about a 1.5 foot diameter, so bigger than a base or a basketball. We were getting property damage with marble size and ping pong size, something double the size of a basketball. And I can't imagine something hurtling through the air weighing 80 pounds hitting you at 200 miles an hour as it fell from the sky. You know, when 80-pound chunks of ice are hitting your roof, crawling to your basement, would offer you very little protection. Using what just happened to be there, if you had not prepared, if you had not dug deeper, is going to offer you little protection. Your house, with that kind of hail, would be shredded to pieces. Brethren, we can't hide from God's wrath. So if we can't hide from God's wrath, then maybe the answer to this world, especially to us, is to not incur his wrath. So how is that accomplished? Well, it's part of the key I mentioned earlier, or at least one of them, especially for us, those of us who have this understanding, is to be prepared. And that means planning, putting into order, getting ready, practicing, organizing, arranging our spiritual lives so that they are prepared for when God unleashes his wrath. Especially of those of us who know better. You know, of all those synonyms and those ideas, they have one thing in common. They don't take place in the future tense. They refer to something that has happened, of the past that is, or something that is currently happening. So what are spiritual shelters then look like? What have we been preparing for day in and day out? You know, are they full of batteries, of jugs of water, of stores of food? Or is this shelter that we should be building, the spiritual protection, still just a concept? Looking great on paper, looking great in theory, but still no hole, proverbial hole dug into the ground. Now, if you don't want to start today, if you think you can make it in the future, especially with those of us in this fellowship, this understanding that God has given through his Spirit, if you think you've got time, you don't. This is something that needs to have been already growing within you when we all receive this Spirit, and it's something that we have to build upon constantly. You know, if we're waiting until we start seeing bigger and bigger signs of what it is that we are expecting of this future so that we know what is coming, we've got to keep this scripture in mind. And I'll just cite it. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Like a thief in the night. Well, brethren, because of our spirit, the spirit we have, I should say, of God that is in with each and one of us, we can have this understanding. We can understand when the times, as we've heard about and as we keep preaching about, these end times when they are getting close. The air raids are starting to sound. And more powerful than any disaster recorded to date, God's judgment and wrath is soon going to be unleashed on this world. No shelter, no bunker, however deep or strong, can hide mankind from the judgment that is to come. You know, we weren't called to be Christian survivalists, building bunkers so far and so deep away from the world with the intent of only saving ourselves. We have been called to stand out in this impending storm and to warn others, to let the world know what is at hand, what's going to happen to them if they are unrepentant before God. Because we have nothing to fear of God's wrath and his judgment. And there's, of course, a big if to that clause. If we are close enough to God to hear his warnings that are going off all around us, these sirens that are going off all around us of what this world is coming to, this climax that it's coming to. And if we have actually prepared and are building these spiritual shelters, this spiritual strength, this foundation, and not just planting them, not just using them as a great concept, but actually building them. Because, brethren, that is what Christ expects of us to be doing when he said in Matthew 24:46, and I'll leave you with this, "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing."